Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we thank you for all of the ways that you inspire us, that you fill us with your joy and your light. We thank you for all of the ways that you call us and protect us under your mighty wings. Amen. God gives us wings. What are some ways that God has given us wings? Can you think of examples from your own life? God's like not Red Bull. I can see some giggling. Have there been times in your own life that you have been aware that God has given you wings? Yeah? When? Driving? All of the ways. What's that, Maria? Recovering from surgery? The ways that we are lifted up. God gives us wings on the one hand so we can soar. But God gives us wings for another very important reason, and we heard about this in the psalm today. Under God's wings, you will find refuge. And we know, as we have heard again and again, that we are God's hands and God's feet. We are God's face. We are God's wings. God gives us wings so that we can protect those who are in need. I love the image of the National March on Washington, the Trans Visibility March on Washington that happened yesterday, and I saw it all over social media, this wonderful presence of the Metropolitan Community Churches. MCC churches showed up to participate in this march, and not everyone who went was a trans person, of course, because one of the many things that we are called to do is stand in solidarity with others. God gave us wings, MCC, to show up, to provide refuge, to stand in solidarity and say, no matter who you are, we will protect you. Under our wings, you can find refuge. In the psalm, we hear, you will not fear the dark of night or arrows that fly by day, or pestilence that stalks the darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. With God, we do not have to be afraid. It's one thing to say, okay, you know, all things are possible with God. We've heard that in Scripture. It's one thing to say, don't be afraid because God is with you. But how do we live that? How do we know it? How do we know it in our bones? The way that we know it is that we are tasked with this job of caring for others in God's name. God's wings protect us because God challenges us to have wings to protect others. No matter what plagues us or haunts us or scares us, no matter what weighs us down, we have God's protection. And God's protection looks like our neighbor who is saying, I will protect you. And their protection looks like you turning to them and saying, I will protect you. And we can't fix all the world's problems with these beautiful wings that God has given us. But we can make the journey easier. We can make things easier for people who are in need. We can make things easier for those who are oppressed, those who suffer under the weight of sexism, of racism, of transphobia. For the trans woman that we just heard about in the prayer time, who on the same week that there is this great march on Washington, this trans woman is being tied behind a truck. God gives us wings. God gives us wings and calls us to be shelter. And we can pray for her. Usually these stories end in the person dying, and this one did not. And we can pray for her, and we don't know her name, but we do know that what she is called matters. And we don't need to know that name, but we know that when the news gets it wrong and says a man in a dress was pulled behind a truck, we know that they have it wrong, and we will spread our wings, not so we can soar above, but so that we can provide refuge. We don't need to know her name to say her name. We know it in our hearts. And I want to tell you about a young man called Javier Zamora, who, when he was 9 years old, walked unaccompanied from El Salvador to the United States. He crossed multiple borders. His parents had already made the journey before him, and he did it on his own. Now, whatever you might think about the politics of immigration, think of this 9-year-old little boy, probably with improper shoes, walking for 4,000 miles. I promise you, he's not here to take your job. He is here because his only choice was to risk dying on the road or risk dying at home, and the chances of getting here alive were much more likely. This is one of many thousands of stories. It's important for us to know these stories. And when he made it to the United States after multiple attempts, he ended up studying at UC Berkeley, and he wrote a book called Unaccompanied. It's a book of poetry, and I'm just going to read you a little bit of one of his poems. It's called Second Attempt Crossing. Again, his name is Javier Zamora. In the middle of that desert that didn't look like sand and sand only, in the middle of the acacias, whiptails, and coyotes, someone yelled, La Migra, and everyone ran. In that dried creek where 40 of us slept, we turned to each other, and you flew from my side in the dirt, black-throated sparrows and dawn hitting the top of the mesquites. Against the herd of legs, you sprinted back toward me. I jumped on your shoulders, and we ran from the white trucks and their guns. He goes on to describe how, in order to, as a young boy, to not be kicked, he jumped in this man's arms so I wouldn't touch their legs as they kicked you. You pushed me under your chest, and I've never thanked you. Eventually, he gets across the border, and this man also gets across the border, and they exchange information to stay in touch. They hadn't been traveling together. The man goes to Virginia, and he goes to San Francisco to meet up with his parents. He describes calling the man and eventually finding out that after getting here safely, the man was killed. He ends the poem with, Farewell, your brown arms that shielded me then, that shield me now from La Migra. His brown arms that shielded, those are the wings of God. No matter what you think of this person or this type of story, it is impossible to hear it and not imagine the wings of God protecting a child who is seeking safety. La Migra, of course, being the immigration, the border officials with their guns. And this young man who's gone on to, now he's in a doctoral program and is this great poet and published, still fears La Migra. Not literally the ones at the border, but that looming scariness, that looming threat that we experience in our lives. And that brings me to the letter to Timothy, the second reading we heard today. We often think about this phrase, eternal life. In the epistle to Timothy, it says, take hold of eternal life. So eternal life, we think about like some like after we're dead. But biblical scholars will tell you that eternal life in this passage is about here and now. It's not something that you get if you behave yourself or if you say the right words, if you profess Jesus' name with your lips but do nothing else with your life. That's not what eternal life is about. Eternal life is that thing that we can bring right here, right now, because God gave us wings. And eternal life for us looks like living into Christ's promise in this world. Many people think that this eternal life thing comes down to one thing, and lots of people think it just comes down to like some kind of purity idea that doesn't even exist in the Bible. And why? Because it's easy to think that. It's easy to look at someone else and be like, well, they're not saved, right? Because what's hard is bringing eternal life here, bringing the kingdom of God here and now, taking those wings that God has given us and using them to shield others. In our kids' message today, we heard what they would do if they had lots of money. And of course, I knew that they would have the right answers. Because it's not wrong to want things. It's not wrong to hope for money. It's not wrong to get, as Isaiah, what an amazing kid, his first time coming up here. He was like, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with all that. He's going to get all the toys, and he's going to share them. And he's going to tell us how to spell his name. What a beautiful message. This text that we heard, the New Testament text that we heard this phrase that is often misquoted. Love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, often we hear money is the root of all evil. Love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It doesn't mean that money is evil, but money is a slippery slope, because once we get more and more of it, it becomes a lot more difficult to remember that God gave us these incredible wings to use to protect others, which is interesting because when we have more resources, you'd think it would be easier to do. This is just a human nature thing. And as we live into God's kingdom and kingdom, we are reminded that we are challenged in this way to be God's hands and feet, to be God's wings. This letter is about choosing life. I'm not talking about the people with the big signs that say choose life. This is about choosing true life, not a false hope about a promise that might come some other day. It's not about pie in the sky when you die. It's not about shaming people who have resources. This letter calls into question something else. When people are suffering, who benefits from that suffering? When people don't have enough resources, who gets blamed? If we continue to blame people for being poor, if we continue to blame people for not having the right papers, if we continue to blame people for living in a way that we can't understand, we forget that God gives us these wings. We forget that maybe we say, oh, wait, God gave us these wings, right? And we think, isn't that so we can soar above and look down and say, oh, you're doing it wrong? No. What if we find our hope in helping others take refuge? What if we consider that refuge truly and deeply? Refuge that can only be given by God through people. When we strip away our prejudices and our economic arguments and the caring about what car we drive and how much people make, we can find our wings. We are reassured that we can take refuge. And that doesn't mean that it is wrong to go to our jobs It doesn't mean that it is wrong to have resources. But what an amazing thing that God gives us resources. Our strengths, our talents, the talents that you might have that someone else doesn't have, the talents that you don't have that someone else does. What an amazing gift that we can come together as a community. So while the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, we know that that's only when we love it in the wrong way. When we love it more than people, when we love it so much that we forget and our hearts are hardened. There are lots of kinds of evil out there. And we can always do better, right? So I'm going to close with a question that I asked you at the beginning of the sermon. When has God given you wings? You don't have to answer out loud, but think about the times that someone has come to you and said, I need you. Think about that time that you answered the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. Think about that time that someone was struggling and you showed up. God gave you wings. And look at this amazing thing that you have done with them. Let's continue to spread those wings, not so we can be above others, but so that we can say, come here, dear one, I will protect you. That is what God has called me to do. Amen.